Well, hello everyone. Thank you for joining us today for our devotions. And hopefully by this point that you found some encouragement for your soul as we continue to look at the writings of Luke and as we dive deeper into what God wants to say to us today. Pastor Keith will be digging into Acts chapter 4 in the hope that you will be encouraged today. And our hope is that if you do not yet know Christ, that you will be challenged by the words that Keith will bring to you.
I was going through my Facebook page on Saturday and I seen a picture that my friend had posted, and it was from the comedian and actor Ricky Gervais, and this is what he said. He said, "Don't worry kids, if you don't sin then Jesus died for nothing." And he's absolutely right. If we did not sin, if we did not do anything wrong, then Jesus did in fact die for nothing. But the problem is, and the problem for Ricky Gervais and for me and for you, is that we do sin, is that we do rebel against authority. We rebel against our parents' authority, against the government's authority, and ultimately we rebel against God's authority. And we choose to do things our way rather than His way. We fall short of His perfect standard and we miss the mark. Sin, S-I-N, is really saying, "Sod off, God. I'm in charge, no do your rules." S-I-N. But the good news is that Jesus hasn't left us without hope, in that He did come to this world, He did live the perfect life that we should have lived, and He died a death that we should have died so that we could know forgiveness from our sin and our relationship with God restored again. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we pick up our series in Acts chapter 4 today, we're going to see the early church and we're going to see how they shared this gospel in their day. And we'll see how the gospel does three things. The gospel disturbs, the gospel questions, and the gospel saves. Just after the early church is formed in Acts chapter 2, Peter and John, the disciples of Jesus, go out and they heal somebody in the temple courts, and then they teach and preach to the big crowds. And then we pick it up in chapter 4, verse 1. "The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus a resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John and, because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Here we see a great disturbance in Jerusalem because of the preaching of the gospel and the practicing of the gospel in good works. The Sadducees were greatly disturbed because they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They didn't believe in the afterlife. And Jesus being resurrected totally blew their world apart. And of course, there were so many eyewitnesses to the resurrected Jesus that they couldn't disprove that He had been resurrected. He appeared to over 500 people. And the change in the disciples was also remarkable, going from the fearful to the fearless. And they also couldn't find Jesus' body. And my goodness, I'm sure they searched high and low for it to disprove the fact that He was resurrected. No, the grave was empty. The body was nowhere to be found. And the Sadducees' world had been disturbed and turned upside down. Possibly that's where you find yourself today. You're disturbed by this gospel message that you've heard for many years, possibly. You're disturbed because a friend or a family member shared this link with you and you're disturbed at what you hear. You're disturbed because you feel that conviction of sin inside, that unease, that restlessness of just not knowing that things are right between you and God. That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ does. The gospel disturbs. It also disturbed Peter and John, followers of Jesus, who were fishermen, who had a career lined out in front of them. And now, because of what they have seen and heard, their life's plans have been disturbed to follow Christ, ultimately given all that they had for the cause of Christ. The gospel disturbs. But we see, secondly, that the gospel also questions. Read on in Acts chapter 4, verse 5. "The next day, the rulers, the elders and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, 'By what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you. Hey. Peter and John have been preaching good news and they have been practicing good works, and the power of the Holy Spirit in them has enabled them to heal this lame man. And it raises questions with the rulers and the authorities and the religious elite of the time. They're saying, by what power, on whose name are you doing this? Questions. And Peter here answers, it's all about Jesus. We're doing it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, a real person from a real place at a real time that nobody could question or argue with at this time. It's all about Jesus. And maybe today you have questions and the gospel raises questions in your head. And perhaps you have been hurt in the past. Perhaps you have hang-ups about how you've been raised in your home and your church and your school even. Can I encourage you today to look past some of those and to look to Jesus Christ of Nazareth? The gospel is about Jesus Christ. Can I encourage you to look at him more closely once again, to bring your questions to him, the questions that the gospel has raised in your own mind, bring them to him. Read one of his biographies, Matthew, Mark, Luke or John. Ask your friend or family member who shared this video with you those questions. Get in contact with us at Hamilton Road and ask us those questions as well. We'd be ever so happy to try to answer some of your questions. The gospel of Jesus Christ disturbs. The gospel of Jesus Christ questions. And thirdly and finally, the gospel of Jesus Christ saves. Let's read verses 11 and 12. Jesus is the stone you builders have rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Here we see the exclusive claim of Christianity, the exclusive claim of Jesus Christ and his followers, that there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. It blows up the pluralism and the universalism in their world and in our world today, which says, well, if you just try your best, then God will accept you. Or sure, all religions lead to heaven. Or if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then God will accept you. No, Jesus says elsewhere in the gospel, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Here is an exclusive claim of Jesus that he and he alone saves. And while it's exclusive, it's for everyone. Whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You say, Keith, I've heard this word saved and my friends say that they're saved, but really it's a bit of Christian jargon. I don't really know what they mean. Can you tell me a bit more? Well, just two things today, very simply. We are saved from something and we are saved to something. We are saved from an eternity without God in what the Bible calls hell. Total separation from God under his judgment. And because God is a God of justice, he must punish sin and wickedness and evil. So we're saved from hell, but we're also saved to heaven. Saved to life with God. We're saved to be adopted into his family as his child in this life and the world to come. In the new heavens and the new earth, where there will be no more sickness, sorrow, death or tears. Where there will be no more pandemics in the new heaven and the new earth. All the wrongs will be right when Aslan comes in sight. That's what we're saved to. Kirk Griffey said, don't worry kids, if you don't sin then why did Jesus die? The problem for Ricky Gervais, the problem for me, and the problem for you is that we do sin. And we sin a lot. And that we need a saviour. The good news is, God God has sent his only Son to be the Saviour of the world, and I commend him to you today.
Well, hopefully today you've been encouraged by what has been shared to you, and hopefully again that you've been challenged if you do not yet know Christ. In just a few moments, I'd love the opportunity to pray, but just before we do, I would just encourage you that if you are someone who does not yet know Christ, to really take this opportunity to think about what's been shared today, to think about the other things that we have shared throughout the week and throughout this month online, and just speak to someone. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to hear your word. We thank you that we are still capable of listening in and tuning in, and we're still capable of sharing your gospel in these difficult times. And I pray, Lord, for those who do not yet know you, for those tuning in maybe for the first time, or maybe someone watching from afar who did know you. I pray, Lord, that you will draw them close and that they will know that as a church we are here for their benefit and for yours. Amen.